alone.
No, not too much. You got a regular thing to do it with.
Well, you got pressure.
No, I take mine game.
Just drive them up.
No, I can't really don't move them back, but put a little stuff in and get it on, because you can't, blowing them out, setting up there ain't doing a bit of good. Back pressure setting up there ain't no good. It picks that stuff up and it'll fall right back down the hole to come out of. You take them out and lay them down, it'll blow it clean on out on the outside of the ground.
Yeah,
all that
ahead.
Rust.
What are you steaming or playing over water on
that? Steaming water together.
You know, I hate to have radiator trouble these days. They charge so much for that. That's got to be bad as automatic transmission. Way up there.
You know, automatic transmission bases are coming down a little bit now. There's going to be so many of them, you know?
No, are they?
Yeah, they're coming down. Yeah, there's going to be so many of them.
That's
funny.
Huh?
Heavy work.
Heavy. Well, you take a big automobile, the transmission is bigger than that motor in that car, then.
Oh, really?
Well, you take a big old Cadillac, a big old Imperial, or something like that, the motor, transmission bigger than that motor. Weighs just as much.
That's what you put the W on it for. When's the last time you drove your big car?
Yeah, about a month ago. I'm going to get it out and start driving it.
But let me tell you what I found out. The battery on that thing cost $39.
Ooh, you ain't got to buy the kind of battery that goes in it. You know that?
What kind of battery?
Buy about a $25 battery. Buy all you want.
Aaron said it wasn't holding it up.
Yes, it will, too. Yes, it will, too. If you're on a radio and not acting all the time, ain't nothing gonna hold up.
That's funny.
It ain't gonna hold up.
I'd rather not have it.
I just do not have it. Of course, as long as you got it now. You take on a long trip. If you take a long trip, like out west, you've got to have that thing in there.
Oh,
they tell me you a buff out there.
Well, I do that desert out there when it gets about 120.
But, I don't know.
I'm not going out there.
Well, I just a regular battery to hold that car. That'd be one thing. It's big enough. If you ever have to buy one, or ain't needed, a little either $25 battery. Just like anybody else has. That's what I got in my car of mine. It's got the same motor, the same everything in that Plymouth. I got the same thing you got. And I got a cheap battery in there. Of course, like I say, you have a big heavy battery. Of course, now, if you can just sit still at the air conditioner and run everything else, yeah, you got to have a big battery.
Because the air conditioner don't run off the battery, does it?
Yeah. You got fans and everything in there, you know.
Yeah.
And your motor's turning, of course. But you got them fans in there, unless you're running down the road, it won't take no electricity.
Oh,
but
I see.
Still, it will.
Oh, I see, yeah.
But I don't care a thing about that air. I'll tell you why. Whenever you get to where you go and you step out of that car, you're in trouble and get that hot air, it really will be hot. It'll seem like it's twice as hot as it was before you got in there. I don't even want air conditioning in my house. I'm going to raise them windows.
Yeah.
I don't have those problems in my house. You see that fan?
Yeah.
Well, you got plenty of ventilation. I do see it. Well, I don't have those problems.
The only trouble I have about air conditioning when I go to the hospital, they got that old air conditioner on, you can't breathe.
I know it. And nobody else can in there.
You raise the window? And I'm telling you, half dozen nurses will be down there just on you.
I know they will.
They stayed on
the
last.
Why, it's too damn cold in that hospital. Did you know there's a many old person that helped kill my uncle right up in that hospital? He went in there and got pneumonia and died after he got in there.
Yeah.
put him in an old nightshirt and it's freezing, of course you're going to get pneumonia. An old person will. Joe Smith had done the same thing. It knocks off all these old men, see?
Yeah.
You put them in there to get pneumonia, and the governor got to pay out that check that month, see?
Phil Patterson's come back with a bad cold. He's in the hospital.
Sure, well.
They always tell you to take your clothes off and wait for the doctor.
Yeah.
That was the doctor's office. They do it in the doctor's office.
I know they do. I don't take mine off. I wait to get in there.
I do too.
I just wait to get in there. They tell me to take them off, but I don't.
I don't know why.
I sit down and freeze to death.
That's the stupidest thing I've
ever heard. I'll take my undershirt off, and then I put my other shirt back on. Yeah.
They must think you're all geared up in there.
Yeah, they think you just come from Alaska.
I think you got your leggings on or something.
They think you just come from Alaska. That ain't where you used to go, see?
Yeah, but you stay in there for an hour and walk outside and that hot air hits you. You can't hardly breathe.
Some people live in it. I guess they get hard to go.
Yeah. That's the thing I know.
Your wife like it?
Heck no.
Got
she
no
ain't never liked it. Been there 6-7 years. Ain't like it. She don't still don't like it.
She's been on the same job both times.
Yeah. She still don't like it. She said during the day though you don't get near as tired. That's one reason they have it.
Yeah.
They can stay cooler, you know, and work.
Yeah.
But if you ain't working, you're laid up in the bed, you got to have a cover on you.
Yeah. Question. You see what I'm driving now?
Yeah. Your wife picked running away from you?
Yes,
I seen her driving that thing yesterday.
Let me tell you something, Buck. I found out something.
Mine wants me to buy her one now.
I tell you why the women like a power steering. That means they can turn the wheel and just sit still.
Yeah.
They've been driving her car since she was hardly big enough to look out. And she never had got close to move the car to turn that wheel. She wanted to do it the hard way. Now that power steering, she don't matter.
And now she don't want to drive, isn't it?
No.
You know people need it for them. Did you know? Yes, sir, they need it for them.
Buster, how can you put that tune-up fluid, you know, in your clean up your valve and not just ruin your filter? You got to change your filter pretty soon after you do that. Change
yeah.
Your oil and everything.
Dude, you just have to put another filter on it.
Well, that runs up the.
Why? You want to put something in there to clean your valve up?
This one here.
On this one?
Yeah.
One
of the valves sort of acting up.
Sticking, kind of sticking a little.
Mm-hmm.
It might be need adjusting. You know? You think it's subject to run up or off?
Yeah.
Ain't no locks on them. They just like hard to move it on.
Yeah.
But it could be a sticking valve. Well, don't use that kind you put in your oil. Use that kind you run down through your car with, a case side.
And then that won't bother you.
Won't bother you at all.
Oh, my God.
The best thing to do
that's
is
right.
Pour that thing in there late in the afternoon, get the carburetor top off, and pour it in there and flood it clean out, and then let it sit overnight. Let that stuff be inside of your motor,
yeah.
In your valve.
Okay, son. You'd rather have it in oil.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think I'm about to put it in that oil. I don't know.
Mm.
No, I'd rather put it in the top and let it run down from the top.
Yeah, in the
cylinder.
In the
head. Let it run down through the head, let it go down through the top instead of coming up through the bottom and be oil. Oil ain't gonna do no good. That ain't gonna stop it before that. In your lifters. Your lifters ain't sticking. You're sticking in your block, but you have to oil it from the top. See, therefore, you have to run through your carburetor to get in there.
Uh-huh. You got some?
I had some that I used. I had 2 cans of that stuff that I didn't use. They bit it right over here.
Where you get it? Western Oil?
No, I get it in Wyandotte. Western Oil's got it, though. I'm just as good as any.
Well, next time you go by, pick
all
up
right.
A little bit.
I'll probably go there tomorrow. I need some, and I'll pick up some, but I need some. Put it back in time.
You need to have a little on hand.
I do. Well, I just use this every Saturday. A little truck over there. He didn't do it no good, though. We used 2 cans. 3! 3 cans it was.
Would you like to have a little bad news?
Hey, stand on the money line. What is it?
You know that Chrysler? All them pretty new tires on it?
Yeah.
One of them wasn't new.
Wasn't new?
We put it on the rack up there, Smitty. I noticed the whole day that it had a bubble on it.
A bubble? Well, I don't know.
All the others put it back home.
Was it on the ground? It was on the ground. And it wasn't new.
I tell you what, anybody else think about these things, but if I was going to do that again, take a car like that, you could go out there and take it, and then I'd take it in to some of these good service stations, and let them service it. They'll find lots of them.
Sometimes you do.
Yeah, of course you get to look at them better.
You see it better jacked up, that's right.
And they are pretty.
Well, you know, yesterday I saw a little old Chevrolet up there, 64. A little Malibu. You don't even look as good as your car. I called him while I was going to ask him what he wanted that thing. You know what he wanted that thing? 1995. He said, well, if he's going to trade in something, so I'll come down on it. He said, you know, if he's going to trade in something, I'd have to price that $300. I said, you would. No, but whatever you trade in, you're going to give it to him. Whatever trade in, you're going to give it to him.
Just figure on that.
Yeah. Well, I had no car the other day, had a bubble on the side of the darn tire, and I took a pin and stuck that thing up there, and I ain't had no trouble out of it since. You know? That's air gets in that outer layer of rubber. You know? A little air pocket gets in there. You stick a pin in it?
No, I got a new one.
Well, you did.
I just want to do it.
You still got the old one?
Yeah.
Heck yeah.
I feel like it.
I ain't scared of it. I'll drive it. I'll give you something for it. I'll sell it to somebody. I can get that bubble out of it. There it is. And finally died, I think.
Oh, he really had a fall, yeah.
Yes, sir, he really had a fall. Come on, let's go inside.
All right, sit down.
And you said your name was which?
Guy Miles. Miles.
Guy Miles?
Uh-huh.
You're not related to the Miles in the Canoe? Are you?
No, sir.
No, I just want to stop that. Let's go in.
Yeah. Oh, they're Myron.
Ain't all this for me, you know. Now I'm sure I'm in other than white. I have seen Myron.
Okay. Whatever you doing, Mr. Boy, don't stop what you're
doing.
I tell you. Where you going to sit?
I'm going to sit back in the lawn.
Throw my hat away. Ask him. Robert Wood.
You live in Norman. It's called the old Will Welch place.
Old Will Welch place.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
What become of me is,
Miss Sally?
Yes, sir. Was that her, your sister? No.
No. I wasn't connected with them at all, Mr. Boyle. I just heard about it and got a hold of it. He's one of my close neighbors. You ever see him?
Yes, sir. And how's they doing, him and his father?
Oh, they're doing extra good, seems to me.
Seems like.
That's
right.
Yeah, seems like they're doing extra
seems
good.
Seems to me like they're better than they have been. Both of them complained, especially Mr. Patterson here for a good long time. You know, he worked at the university.
Yeah.
I don't know how long, 10, 12 years or more. Something like that. I reckon he works out of our insurance. I mean, Social Security, and they get along a lot better. And I understand he's taking some children that had raised, adapted them, or done something that are related to them.
Uh-huh.
So they're going along with that. Seems to be mighty well contented.
Yeah.
Now, I thought we was the best of friends. I was fond of Mr. and Ms. Patterson both.
Yeah.
And we were Welch fly. I mean, him was old acquaintance.
Yeah. Well, he died mighty young, didn't he,
yes,
Mr.
Yes, he did. Fine man, I thought. Real well.
How old would you say he was when he died?
Let me see. Let me make a rough guess. He was, could have been 45, maybe 50.
That old?
Yes. I don't believe he's much over 45 years of age.
Yeah.
It's just my rough guess.
Well, I didn't know, but from what they said, I judged he wasn't past that anyhow.
That's right. He was pretty young.
Yeah. All them boys around, you know, remembered him. He used to umpire their games for them.
That's right.
Fred Wood and a whole lot of them, you know.
Well, he actually gave the sheriff around here some, and I don't know what and all. And there was another fella there that I thought was a fine fella, and his name was
Grace.
Grace, yes, Grace.
Coon.
And but this other, another one there that connected with the Wood. George Evans.
Captain Evans.
Not the old man Evans, but he was a young man. He got killed with a shotgun. And somebody thought he killed himself accidentally or might have been on purpose, just committed suicide. Bob Evans. Bob Evans, you don't know anything about him.
Uh-huh.
I don't reckon.
Swink.
And Swink, he committed suicide.
Yeah.
Paul Swink.
Yeah.
When we hit River Sticks Bridge.
I don't believe I heard about Paul Evans, Mr. Boy.
No, I don't reckon you did. He died. You see, he died way back yonder.
Yeah.
Way back yonder.
Well, now you know Miss Anna.
Yes, Miss Anna Wood.
Yeah. She writes much older than you are.
I bet so.
She's 95.
I even knew her mother, Miss Evans.
Uh-huh.
She lives to be old.
Uh-huh.
It looks like Miss Wood is just going on and on. She's still alive, I guess.
Oh, she does well. I go there and talk to her.
She's a great old soul, I want to tell you that.
She is that now. Now, you know what she can do? Mr. Boyd, what she can do, she can talk about those things that happened right back there. And then she can come right up there and tell you what they're working on out there in the field right now.
Can?
Oh, yes.
Well.
Yes, sir.
She's just apt. She's very much alive.
Yes,
she's very much alive.
So you can't say they all live in the past.
That's right.
When they get old.
That's right.
No, sir, she knows what's going on.
That seems strange about some of them. Her mother was the same way.
Mm-hmm.
Same way. Very much alive old lady, almost as long as she lived. She saw everybody and knew everything. If there was any chance to see and hear, she got it. And it stuck with her. Well, I'm a whole lot like that, say. Now I'm not. I'm awful forgetful. My mind has slipped away from it, looked like, since I lost my sight. But things that happened back yonder, I remember it better than things that happened today. I thought I'd get it thoroughly recorded in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't travel about, visit much, don't go much. I have been out as much as 5 years past that I didn't go out hardly outside that gate then.
Well, you've got a nice place to stay here. I don't know any place I'd want to swap it for.
That's so. Well, I ought to be moving. I'm here. I spent 2 years and about 5 or 6 months here, almost completely alone, keeping house, cooking, doing everything. It's too far away, and the times have changed, and you get nobody to do anything much for you on God's globe. And if you set out to try to hunt somebody, you're wasting time. If you can do it all, you better be working on the job than it is to be hunting somebody to do something. And it puts me to strain because I can't see. If I could see, I'd ask. It's kind of like I'll just speak it and excuse the expression. I will clown out of it and shoot. Hurry, if you want to see George, the great rhinoceros with 99 stripes are leading from the tip of his nose down to the ask me no question and I'll tell you no lies. Yeah. You better not crowd me with questions now. If you do, I won't remember. I took me when I heard it. It's been years gone by.
Yeah.
I don't know, you couldn't say that he said anything bad after all.
I don't get things ever changed any faster than they have, you know, in the last few years. Where you can't get any help at all.
You're not talking to me. Mister, it's just like a new world. And it's getting, looks like in a way, Mobius. And it's an old fella, Jim Mean? I don't reckon you know much about him.
Hey, I know Jim Mean.
You've always known him, worked for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Born and raised right across there, you know,
yeah.
I reckon.
Yeah.
And Jim is very comical and I reckon very considerate. He told me several years ago back there that people are just doing anything now, Mr. Boyd. Just anything, bro. Seems like that's the kind of way you have to pronounce it. That they're doing things they've never done before and right on changing everything is changed. And a well-posted man back yonder 25 years ago.
He wouldn't know nothing now, would he?
Know nothing. It's kind of like the clown said too. There's two of them, you know. One of them says, say this world is going mighty fast. It's up there in New York where I live. Say, you go out Monday morning, you see them laying the foundation for a big building. Say, if you don't mind, when that weekend comes, you can go back by there. And says, they just about got it completed. And the thing is moving. This old clown said, oh man, said that's nothing. Said, you know, in that there in Atlanta, Georgia, where I live, said, you go out Monday morning and see him laying the foundation for a big building. And she's going out to your job, when you come back in that evening past that place, said, they're kicking them people out of there for not paying rent. Well, that's just the way it's a moving now.
Yes, sir.
It's a moving now. You don't know what tomorrow's going to bring forth.
Yes, sir.
And it's got to where it's all done. So much of it, you might as well say the whole business is run on installment plan.
Yeah. Now you never used to buy anything on a credit. I don't reckon you do now.
You know, sometimes you couldn't get it.
Yeah. That's right.
They got you at the bank, wouldn't lend you a dime on no country property.
No.
And a little city property and it had to be the best to get it then.
Yeah.
Just hadn't been far back either.
Yeah.
There's 100 acres of land right over there, joining that next man there, he's got an air strip of 30 acres that sold, I reckon, for taxes of $1 an acre. That kid bought it in.
Uh-huh.
And there's Watkins run bank, borrowing Watkins Bank, and Mickey Nobody offered to sell me all that Franklin got starting down at the road crossing it. Running all the way around here to get near about and a half a mile or less of Mickinoka Junction.
Yeah.
Says, don't have to give me a dollar. Just take it.
Yeah.
Pay me when you can get it.
Yeah.
Sell you every bit of it. And of course the Dr. Watson called me there one time, told me, said, you know, boy, says, I've been watching you. If everybody lived like you, we wouldn't need no courthouse.
Mm.
And said, you get all the money here you want. You need the money, I'll let you have it. You get all the money you want. Says another man says, I was the only man in this country looked like, and he was a stranger to me. And he didn't tell me so either. I just heard the other man told me, I reckon. Said, he's the only man that's raised his family like he ought to raise his family. Now you listen to that. You just take that in consideration.
Mm.
That hasn't been more than 40 years ago.
Didn't you tell me one time that you, about borrowing some money, didn't you borrow $1,000 or something up there?
Where?
Meganope.
Meganope? No, sir. Never borrowed a penny from Washington Bank. I had two bank failures. McIntosh State Bank broke on me, and I had some money in that. I had to pay interest on what little I got. And I got, had some business to tend to my mother and father's health bad and expect them to pass out. I had to move from here to Georgia, made 3 moves in 10 months. And I went there, that happened right at the same time. I had been up that state a while and didn't know, wasn't posted about how bank affairs was going like a whole lot of them was. He said that Ramsdorff Jetrow had the most money in the bank. I come to find out I had more money when the truth was known than Ramsdorff Jetrow had. He must have went and moved here, most all of it. They got me for all I had. And I had to go and take out what I could get and pay interest on it. And I was going to Georgia to transact some business and thought I needed it. And I dropped it in Meganope Bank. Foolish thing I ever could have done. But I thought I better not throw it in my pocket. And it closed up. Of course, they paid off 100% whenever the state comptroller got through with it. But I lost on the McIntosh Bank. And that's the only, I never borrowed any money from them. They told me the same thing. I didn't have it one time there. I could get all the money I wanted. And I just didn't borrow it. And there was a man who lived in debt. And I tell you one reason why. I already had the experience. My father farmed, and he furnished your property, and he cotton, corn, everything, and had a big family, tried to make a living for him. And he went further in debt every year, furnishing sharecropping. And he won, he planted 10 acres of cotton and got one bill. And half working it and all such as that, then trying to furnish him, gophers, I think, and everything. And so he just cut it off. He quit with that business.
He had to quit.
And he started, his fertilizer give out, barn yard fertilizer, he didn't plant another hill. Cotton. He got to making a bale of cotton and better than a bale of short cotton to the acre. And he went to pay him the cash. The old man 50 cents, he'd ride 2.5 or 3 miles and went in the morning and got in debt that much. He said, I'm gonna pay this afternoon. He didn't mind, he didn't have another cost to go back. He'd go back and pay him the 50 cents. And he stayed out of debt. And the wagon tire was about to fall off. Get some hay wire and wrap it on until you got the money to pay for it. And he went to live in his home and boarded at the same place with that same family. Got out of debt and didn't owe nobody a penny. And before he passed away, he could sit on his back porch and get a living, independent to anybody and everybody. And he didn't know anybody. Left enough to take care of his funeral expense and his wife's expense. Left 500 acres of land, he didn't owe a penny in the God's world on it, his own house on it, and stock. Everything I seen. Had some of the fattest cattle that I ever laid my eyes on, one or two of the fattest I ever saw in my life. Had 3 cattle there, and had a administrative sale of it. And he didn't put them in a stall and feed them either, particularly, but they was fed on that plate. And absolutely, you could almost lay a pole, the side of a good handle or something like that, pole handle and thing, up in the crease in that cow's back. And everybody looked at it and said, it's the fattest cow they ever looked at. And the man that bought it, Henry Jones, said he's going to get $1 a pound. He paid a good price. Somebody asked him, how in the world can you pay such a price? He said, I get every dollar of it back. It's almost good soul now. And yet, you had the other two in there, they said they was fat. When you run that third one in there, why, just make your mother two machines.
Yeah.
She was sympathetic to Carl, I ever looked at.
Yeah.
Now that's the way, that's what put him to it. He's living at home in Bowling Green place. He had money. He ain't got anything he wants. He wants a churn of ice cream or a cake. He just go by the bakery and knew the man and all and order it. And his credit was good anywhere and everywhere. And they deliver that cake and don't, like old man Thrasher told me, told his clerks about me. So don't you ask him for no money. You just ask him what else.
Yeah.
Said, he told me to my face. Said, Mr. Boy, said, you know, I quit asking you for money long, long ago. I had a little trouble there. I lost one of my babies. And had a burnout. Bank failure. He knew. I went to him, told him, and I had the bank failure. I said, Mr. Cracker, I said, I owe you a little money. And I said, if you want me, I said, I'll strain every effort is in my body, I'll get your money. He done kind of like this and rubbed his hands with Mr. Boyd. Said, money or no money. Anything in this world I've got that you want, come and get it. And he says, when that child died, he says, I done turned J.E. loose to get out and you go on back home. Said, he must look after this. Funeral and burial expense and everything else of that kind, says, y'all take care of it. J.E. Put him out to see to it. And I paid the bill. Well, it's a great relief to me, and it showed that that man had the highest honors for me that a man could have for another.
Mm-hmm.
That's old man John Thrasher.
Yeah.
He, I owed as much as $1,000 at a time. Didn't have a face note. Paid into the last penny.
Now that's what you told me. That's what is sort of coming back now.
That's it.
That was Mr. Thrasher.
Right.
That you owed him as much as $1,000 at a time.
Yes.
Yeah.
I lost $700 there in one night on a crop. $750. Had five bags of peas planted, 15 acres of cabbage, about 3 acres of lettuce. And they come a freeze and kill the whole business. There's the need. I paid that. And I paid the next spring. That was in the wintertime this spring. That spring I smeared beans.
Mm.
I got a cold planter. And I mean I smeared beans all over the land that I had.
Mm.
The time comes to the beans I had. Prince. Man filled my beans out, I shipped them by express. He said, if you bring me 1,000 baskets of beans this week, I'll buy the best quarterly money to buy. I carried him 1,000 baskets of beans. Build them out, but I never got the quarterly. And I paid Mr. Thrasher that lost debt and everything that I owed him to boot.
Mm-hmm.
And I paid the man 100, I think it was $125. He helped me to get that crop planted, and he didn't make me 5 days work, him with a horse.
Hmm. Where did you have them beans, Mr. Boy?
They were on old man John McCready place.
Well, I don't know that country.
I made beans, and Bill Richardson down there come up there on the contract, and my beans, I had a sharecropper. Thomas Woodard's father. I take my beans all the whole entire crop at $1.25 and I contacted them to him for $1.25. We got some good wicked beans to come out there and bought 2 or 3 men, the old man Pat O'Dell. He said the beans was too old, he just have to back out. I gathered my beans and shipped them from Express from Micanopy Junction, and I got better than an average of $1.50 a hamper for every one of them.
Hmm.
Average.
Well, what was wrong? What is wrong with him first?
Just more than an excuse, said it was too old, 2 or 3 days too old. Old man O'Dell come out to tell me so. I gave them and shipped.
Yeah.
And they sold.
Well, didn't he know anything about beans? Didn't hit Mr. O'Dell?
They didn't know anything about him.
Yeah?
Yes, they did know. They wanted to back down. Back down, old man Henry Stokes.
Yeah.
Old man Henry Stokes knocked him down across the curb and making an open and was about to kill him. Somebody had to pull him off of him. Bill Richardson. Old man Richardson standing there with his walking cane, begging the fellas, don't let him hurt Billy, don't let him hurt Billy. He's contracted, near nothing. Daddy, Nelson Yates and Mr. Wood had a big cabbage crop down there and contracted for a dollar and a dime. The man stood there and sold for $2 a better, two and a quarter. Put a dollar in his pocket every crate that they made.
Mm-hmm.
Out of them. If it'd been the other way, they'd have reneged.
Yes. Yes, that's right.
That's the way the world goes.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
That would be rich for that.
Who is Bill Richardson?
He's in Orlando. That's the youngest son of the old man. The old man Richardson. Maybe you didn't know the old man. I knew him.
Was he down there at McIntosh?
He lived there a while. You know, he retired a good while before he died. He had a little insurance and he was getting enough out of it to kind of pay the boy. He bowled over his horse on for quite a little bit. He bowled in Nicanopin and around different places. His sons, I reckon, might have helped him some. The old man P.K. there was well fixed and pretty recent.
That wasn't Pretty Richardson's brother.
Who?
Bill Richardson.
Bill Richardson was his brother.
That's his brother.
Did you know Jack Richardson, J.S. Richardson?
Was that another brother?
That's another brother.
Well, now I've heard of Jack, but I don't believe I've heard of Bill.
Now, Bill could be alive down there in Orlando. He went on down there with business and got rich, I reckon.
Oh.
And his wife never had a child for I don't know how long after he was married. I heard that they had a son born to him.
And he was in the produce business down here at McIntosh for a while.
Yes. Yes.
Mr. Boyd, how did Mr. Thrasher stay solvent in them hard times when the bank was failing? He must not have lost much in the banks.
Well, he told me when he got burnt out up there, he said he was in pretty bad shape. And he thought he needed to borrow some money. And excuse me just one moment.
Yes, sir.
Bank. I think you might have been doing this.
It was perfect business. John Price. Mm-hmm. I never saw a better businessman in my whole life.
Mm-hmm.
I can't say that he was strictly honest. Mm-hmm. So far as right down the main line is concerned. And he would have thought he was rich. He'd done quite a big business. And you would think he made a good profit, and many times he didn't get it, did he? But he was a good businessman. He credit most anybody, didn't the right kind of paper, but he finally got the place where that had to be the principle that you got his stuff on mostly.
Mm-hmm.
Give him a note.
Now, is this John or JB over there now?
And that's the old man, John.
That's the old man. Now this is J.B.
J.E. And so they got the third J.E. Junior.
But now you've been talking about the old man.
Yes, that's what I've been talking about. And that young J.E. the third was born. The old man talked so much, and he told me in the office, I told me about it. And this boy said, J.E. the third, I got a grandson. J.E. the third. And said, see here? Said, a little piece of land right over here, south of here. Said, see here, I made him a deed to that piece of land this morning. He was just proud of J.E. the third as he could be.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like he's going to make a good man.
Well, now you've had business, done business with
three generations of
three generations of
mother's sake.
Yeah.
All in all.
Well, now I've done a little business with this man over here, you know, and I find that he's right straightforward.
That's right, J.E.
J.E.
Yes, J.E. I trust him. I trust him. Who's J.E.? If they got the day boot on you, don't mind they pull your leg, they pull my leg down the boot. They thought they had the advantage. And I didn't call it strictly honest, it's always been, but they had a paper on me. So I paid it. Trouble, what I mean, though, I paid one bill twice.
Yeah. Yeah,
I paid one bill twice.
Yes, sir. You know, talking about owing money, that's one of the bad things about owing merchants, Mr. Boyd, unless you keep books yourself.
That's right.
And just keep everything straight and keep your paper straight. And not many does that. You're likely to do that.
Yes.
Yes, sir. I bet, I know telling how many times that's been done in this country.
I walked in there one morning, I owed that old man some money, and I gave him a check every 30 days, and here he goes by what I owed him. I gave him a check every 30 days, then. As often as a month rolled around, I owed him $1,000. I was just doing quite a pretty good business, and that was for seed and fertilizer. And you know, I hadn't got it out of the crop. Was supposed to pay it, and I did pay it. Sometimes it takes a manager to make it pay. I found I'm on fat self on the back. The manager, the way so as to pay my debt, and also understood farming better than a whole lot of people. And they think they're farming, and think they know. They're just fooling themselves. What I found out in my experience of life. I'm through now. I'm completely through. And but I looked my hand over and I've seen that they are done. You see deep farmers that's farming and on somebody else's money. And they just keep the weaver turning. And for ever so long. And it's kind of like they were blindfolded. They don't know what they're doing. Sometimes makes money and sometimes lose. That's the way the great business goes. That's the gambling game that everybody knows.
Mr. Boyd, I come over here to ask you something. And I'm going to ask you before I forget it. Something comes up and we do something else. You're not going to wait on that. Well, let me tell you. The trouble is, they've got a coon population back there that's just big. And them coons have lit in on them watermelons while they're still green.
Oh, my.
They're still green. And I've been back there with them a time or two. And they've been putting out eggs and one thing or another. And it don't seem to me like they've slowed them up at all. I went out this morning with the boy. And you could see along there where they had a little path along their car track. And you could see them fresh tracks there. They just, as the boy said, they just thick as a lead. They just slick. I don't know whether they're going to hold them up, stop them or not. And, you know, they got a lot of watermelon, money in them melons.
Yeah, I guess so. Are they going to come on time or do they want to be late?
Well, they just going to have half a crop.
Half a crop and they're somewhat late.
Yeah.
Just we are sitting here at home and know. And the watermelon deer, right now, if you had knew your onions well enough, you ought to get out and make some money on a watermelon deer. And they've speculated on just as well as I do or better. And you can't stop the coons. You don't try it, you hound. And then what is the question you're going to ask me now? This is an important question.
How you going to stop them coons?
How do you want to stop them coons?
You just can't walk off and let them have it.
Well, I can tell you one thing. Sounds too simple. The devil won't eat his own broth, really. No.
No.
Is there any way you can set a steel trap and catch a coon?
Yes.
Have you done it?
Yes, sir.
What do you do with the coon?
Just throw them away.
Well, don't do it. Don't do it. Can't you see right close to where them coons come into that watermelon field? They come in from everywhere.
They come in from everywhere. But the grass is so high along there now. It's grown up back there. The water's been up on that swamp. Right up here, you know that swamp that goes clear across there.
They eat your eggs and you have them poisoned and you don't kill the coons?
I haven't. They eat the eggs, but I don't see any coons.
What you use it? Do you want to stick them? It may not be what it ought to be. And you may be giving him too much.
Yeah, don't take much, I understand.
You just give him a working dose and he's working and he don't kill it. Now, you can try this or you can leave it alone. If you can get a hold of a coon and you just cut him up and don't waste none of it, and even the chitlins of it is just his guts and feathers and things is mighty good. And you take it and drag it around, scatter it, throw a piece here and a piece there, wherever you see them coming in there.
Mm-hmm.
Now it won't last always.
No.
The rain could do away with it.
Yeah. Sun bad on it, I guess.
Yeah. But if you don't mind, you stop them. You slow them down. You stop them. And if you got your poison, I would fail to put it out. If you don't know what's the trouble, because these can't find out what's the trouble. And if he smells that coon scent, well, a coon's been slaughtered, when you say he don't want to come in there, and he's allowed to stay out till it comes a big rain and wash everything off. He's watermelon crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you've been putting it in eggs, haven't you?
Yeah.
And he makes for a watermelon.
Yeah.
Put it in a watermelon. It's costing you something. But you better do it. Put your poison in the watermelon. That's where your troubles lie most.
Yeah, if you could do that. You don't tell me, Mr. Boyd, that one coon can eat out a whole big watermelon.
If he's stalling, he'll come mind you.
Well, now this morning, this morning we come on one, and the red meat was right there laying on the outside in seed, and they were still wet. It looked like that coon hadn't left that an hour before.
I guess not.
And the boy cut that open, and it was just as hollow as a ball.
And done been in there and got it.
Everything gone, including the juice. Hardly any juice left in there.
Just reaches in there, and maybe a little younger goes in there and drink the juice, and he'll get it. See, before, in the meantime. Just holler it out to the rind.
Just holler it out to the rind. Now that one was just a little bit red. So it must have been turning.
That's right.
But that's the first one I've seen it was.
That's how come to clean it out so well, is it's ripe and sweet.
Yeah.
I'm getting ripe. The best one they found.
Now they take the meat and the juice, and I guess they like the seeds too.
You know, a coon I trapped for when I was a boy. Studied coons, and he's very conspicuous, and he's very humorous. And he kicked us, and then said, "You can't move a stick." Where he climbs over the fence, or his regular getting over place, you don't mind, he doesn't notice. Put a trap there, you got to conceal it all together. Do something or other, make him step that way. If he can smell it, you know, and use medicine or stuff or drugs, you can buy it and kill that thing. Kill the odor that you need there. And it'll last for him several hours. He can pick up the scent of a human being. And I've set traps, and I know other trappers to do it, old experienced trappers. And just outfigure a coon, but it's a hard thing to do. What you're doing is not amounting to anything. And, it looks like it ought to. I afraid your strychnine is, you cheated on that or something. But that that I'm talking about there, it's right smart little trouble to do is to get a hold of a coon. If you can catch one, set a steel trap or two, and catch one and take him and tear him all the pieces and cut him all up. Don't throw away a piece or the way you want to put it. Put him coons head of that field. And he won't like that he comes the same place every time. Now if it gets rainy season, he gets scent good, he'll call over a place that he hadn't been called over quicker.
Oh, is that right?
Yes. But he goes for scent. Because there's one awful center on his nose. And he can pick up a scent just as well as anything you ever saw. Very sensitive to that. Be careful about what you do, move around where he travels, where he enters a field. Get over in there and they all get together and get to romping and eating watermelons while they have a plum frolic.
I believe they've had a frolic over here.
Yes, they have a frolic.
Now they haven't been all over the field, you understand?
Yes.
But they've been almost all over the field. You get a little spot all along where they've been, and they've just about got every melon there that looks good.
Well, there's another thing you could resort to. If you had a good box, put a dog in, several boxes, and get several dogs, and carry them down there and put them in a box and feed them there if you want to. Let them spend the night there. If they smell that dog, you're not going about it. You're going a good long way before you go in the field.
Mm-hmm.
You have to get away from the center of that dough. You know, right dough, big. Center of the dough, you're afraid of it.
They don't have to see the dog around. If the dog's been there, and they can smell it.
That's right. That's right. That's what I'm talking about. They can scent it more than you have an eye.
Mm-hmm.
He goes by his sight. He's got sharp eyes, and he's got a sharp center on his nose too. Pick up scent quick.
Mr. Mitchell, why wouldn't you? Why could? They was talking about getting somebody to run the dogs back there. Why couldn't you just, after they put out them eggs, the fellow didn't want to take his dogs back there?
That's right. No.
Why couldn't the fellow just take some dogs back there, just lead them back there, and have them back there, walking around?
You're not going to stay all night? You're going to spend the night?
No, just walk them around where they leave the scent.
He'll find a place where he can get in there where scent is not too high, and maybe go in and get your watermelon. And if one goes in, he'll lead more in.
Oh, I see.
They'll go in sometimes in together.
Oh.
They'll go to a rail fence, get up on this corner and walk that fence till the corner gets over in the field. The other corner of the rail fence. You know, that's big, you're built zigzag. And they'll get over, when they go in and pin the field or chew the field or something like that, they'll go to the same place. You see where he climbs, walk the fence and get over yonder and get down. Very careful, look like him there. And he'd come in the same place and go out the same place mostly, but sometimes he's not as careful about where he goes out, he is about coming in there.
Mm-hmm.
And he's humorous. And, but he's very particular. And I know they won't like a dog scent.
No, if you knew.
What kind of eggs was that you used?
Just some they bought at the store.
Some hen eggs. Now, if it was turtle eggs, it'd be much better. And I'll tell you the way to work that. If it's in the sand places, I have to just run a fur. Have a fly and run a fur around that watermelon patch. He'd get in that, and he'd walk that. He'd take a cooter hole and drag it. With the eggs in it, he butchered the turtle. And had the eggs in there, and guts. Drag it around, he could take that and fart it. I don't reckon you're educated as well as I am to it, but they'll get on track of where Cooter crawls. He'll fart it and fart it till he finds where he digs a hole and buries his eggs. And a turtle generally puts his eggs down that deep in the ground.
Oh.
He'll bore out a hole with his head and lay his eggs in there, and they don't miss them. Doesn't miss it.
Hmm.
And the crow is right behind, too. The old crow is just about as slick as anything you ever saw.
Hmm.
And you drag that cooter hole around that place in the evening, maybe after sundown, with them scent of that turtle and guts and eggs and whatever it might have you. He'll get on the trail of it, he'll follow it. And then eggs was poisoned and spread them around that turtle hole. They'll gather there and they'll eat them, and they'll be sure to get your eggs and poison too. Follow that ever so far. Halfway around the field almost. And the fresh fur, he does love to walk in that, to run with a plow.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if he thinks a turtle's traveling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's their daily occupation, a nightly occupation. As far as where a turtle crawls, until he finds his eggs and hardly ever fails.
Mm-hmm.
Get them. That's what keeps our birds these old scavenger crows that we have, the greatest pest on God's earth.
Mm-hmm.
There's one here. I give anybody a dollar almost to kill it.
You couldn't get close enough if you had a gun.
Well, they get tame after a while. If I was tame enough, I could get him if I could see. This dude stay around here and he'd rob hen nest and bird nest and keep right up with the bird. They'll sit off yonder in a tree and watch a nice little bird building him a nest. And he'll keep his eyes on that every day until that bird lays in his age. Sometime maybe he's got two or three in there. He'll go there and rob it to keep them eggs.
You get out there mowing your hay, and it takes all the cover from off of your quail and your meadowlark nest. An old crow will fly over it and see them shiny white eggs, and away he'll go.
Yeah. Pretty sharp, wise. Coons are just as wise. Well, you know, they can ruin your watermelon, too, yeah. You have a steady form, they're reversed. You see, you get wise to anything. Try to be as wise as he is. It break out in a different way, in a different place.
Mm-hmm.
And surprise them. Take him by surprise and get him over his guard. They were some watermelon that way, they were any peanuts, you know. You get on a row and keep feeding up the field. Watermelon, they seem like they tell the ripe ones from the green most times.
And then they'll pick out the big ones and let the little ones go?
Yes. My father garden, you know, for many years. Insects would get on his vegetables. We didn't have too much insecticide in the.
What kind of powder did we use to scatter on them bugs?
I tell you what he used. Make us chew and get out the avenue on the vegetables, worms on the vegetables. And gather a few of them, put them in something, put them on the fire and stew them up, make a spray out of it, and put it in a burlap sack where the dampness would go through, and just take it and drag it over them beans or whatever it was they were eating, the peppers and different things. Wherever that odor got onto them, there wouldn't be no more bugs. And if it's rabbits, just cut them half in two and let his guts hang out and drag it right over your beans and put a stop to the rabbits eating beans.